Okay. So less than ideal. I blame Cody because he's not here and usually he gets this set up. So Cody, if you're watching, thanks a lot. Good joke. You got me good, buddy. Okay, so I'm just going to describe my slides and try to adjust as much as possible. So on the way here, I asked my wife, I said, should I start with a joke? And she said no, but I already started with the first joke, this whole setup. But I've got two, so try to loosen myself up here a little bit. So my wife loves to decorate for Christmas. You know, it's this whole thing. Two storage racks in the garage, the kind that hang from the ceiling, just tubs after tubs after tubs. And she also has a company that comes by and puts lights on the house. And so they stopped by this year, and after they were done, I said to the guy, I said, how much do I owe you? And he said, nothing, they're on the house. groan. Okay, and this one's for the 30 to 50 year olds. The rest of you, ask someone younger or older than you sitting next to you. How do you know that Will Smith has been in the snow? He leaves fresh prints. Okay, Dad, ask somebody else. Okay, I'm moving on. Okay, so it's a unique point of view standing up here. And while I'm standing here, I'm brought to awareness that next year at this time there may not be some of you still here. So while I have the chance, I want to look at everyone who's here and appreciate you and tell you that I love you and I'm grateful for you, and thank you for being here. Thank you for joining in the celebration that we're here together to celebrate and remember. And thank you for taking time out of your day, for bearing with me. It's a privilege to preach on Christmas. I don't know if David, how many other people he asked first that said no, but I'm grateful that I have the opportunity and that he gave me this chance. And all I'm going to do today is take the opportunity to do as one of our hymns says, and that is to tell you the old story of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. And that's all we can do on Christmas. That's the only thing that I have to bring is that old story. And if you have your scriptures, pull up your app. I want to read out of Luke, the first chapter. Luke gives us the most detailed account of Christ's birth and what took place. So Luke 1, I'm going to start with the 26th verse. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. So Mary has been given the news of a lifetime, of all lifetimes, the greatest news anyone has ever been given since the beginning of mankind. Moms everywhere tend to think that their child, that their baby is the best. But here is Mary being told the Messiah that was prophesied of, foretold by the prophets, was going to be her baby. Isaiah 7 says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." She was highly favored of the Lord. She was well versed in the scriptures. She was a faithful servant to God. And these verses, these words are echoing in her mind and in her heart. As she gets this news, she's told that you are going to give birth to the Son of God. Can you imagine how overwhelming this must have been? Can you imagine the immediate emotions that she felt? And then she has to sit with it for months and dwell on these words and feel the pressure of that knowledge. The incredible level of faith and trust required to hear this, to accept it, to move forward knowing that you are responsible for this child's safety and learning and well-being. It's amazing. Luke 2, continuing our story. In the first verse, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There isn't much more that we know about these events. This is basically the whole story. We know also that the Lord told Joseph what was going to happen. We know that he warned him to leave Nazareth and flee into Egypt. We know that they stayed there for a time, and we know that the Lord told him when it was safe to return. And that's about all that we're told. But it's enough. It's enough because it was a fulfillment of prophecy. Fulfillment of prophecy that we read about it and we sing about. And one of the lines that we sing talking about this prophecy says, Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. This is the prophecy. So when Gabriel appeared to Mary, before that he went to her cousin. Went to her cousin Elizabeth, and he told her that you're going to give birth. You're old, but you're going to have a son. And he's going to be great. And he's going to be full of the Holy Ghost. And he's going to preach, and he's going to prepare the way for the Lord. And his name was John. John was the cousin of Jesus. And as he grows into adulthood, he becomes completely consumed with his duty, with the Holy Spirit. And he lives in the wilderness, and he preaches. He preaches the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Lord. And people are kind of weirded out by him because he's different. He's odd. And he's so singularly focused on this task. And they say, "Who are you? Who are you, and what are you doing?" And he answers them in John 1, and he says, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord." This is what he says about himself. He doesn't even tell them his name. He says, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. This is what I'm called to do. Make straight the way of the Lord," because he is coming. Earlier, the Apostle John writes about him, and he says, the coming of the Lord. He says, in the beginning, establishing who he is, who this coming of the Lord is, who this person is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John tells these people, "I am the voice. I am the voice." But Christ, he is the Word. He is the Word that was and is and always will be. In him is contained everything that the Father wants us to know about himself. The Word is what the Almighty God, the great and eternal I Am, has to say to all of creation. It is Jesus. It is contained in him. Through his Son would and will all things be revealed. If you want to know me, God says, know my Son. If you want to come unto me, you must come unto my Son. The Word. I want you to think about that as we go into the season. God, who was and is and always will be, sent himself in the form of his Son. He lived like we live. He was subject to all the experiences that are common to being a man, to being human. He stubbed his toe. He smashed his fingers. He got splinters. He had a stuffy nose. He had coughing fits. He got headaches. He had sleepless nights. He ate bad food and paid the price for that bad food. He got teased and laughed at. He was taken advantage of. He was misunderstood. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was stripped. He was lashed. He was crucified. But before all that, the eternal God, having seen all of your actions, knowing all of your thoughts, all of your weaknesses, all of your failures, he still loved you infinitely. And he offered the cause and the purpose of all creation to be born in abject humility as a baby. And this is where I show you a slide of a picture of a baby. An innocent newborn baby laying in a bed of hay. Matthew 18:4 says, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So here's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven: humbling himself as a little child, doing the thing that he has called us to do. And I want you to know that at this moment, an important thing happened, not just his birth, but it was prophesied of in Isaiah 55, in the 8th verse. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." It was this moment at his birth, this baby that you can't see laying in this manger, it was at this moment of his birth that victory was ours. It was secured at this moment. The word had gone forth, and it would accomplish everything that his father sent him to do. 30-something years later, when Jesus uttered the words, "It's finished," it is finished. This Isaiah 55 is what he's speaking about. That's what he is talking about. It, the thing that his father sent him to do, was finished. He was and is the rain that descended out of heaven. He is the light that would shine in darkness. He is the bread of life to all who would choose to eat. We look to his sacrifice on the cross as the moment our salvation was made possible, and rightfully so, but it was at the moment of his birth that victory was guaranteed, because the word would accomplish that it was sent to do. That's what happened. That's what we are celebrating. This moment with Mary and Joseph alone in the stable with the animals and the noise and the smell all around them, the pain and the struggle of childbirth taking place in the most humble of places. This moment answered the eternal question of all the ages: why are we here? This is where I show you 2 Nephi, the first chapter, 114th verse. "But behold, all things have been done in the wisdom of him who knoweth all things. Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time, that he might redeem the children of men from the fall." The fullness of time had arrived. Christ was here. Christ was here for redemption. "Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared, and the soul felt its worth." If you are going about your business on Christmas and celebrating the holiday, I want you to ask yourself this question. And you've seen that song, "The soul felt its worth." What is your soul worth? What is it worth to God? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus is everything, and God gave him for you, for your soul salvation. Your soul is worth everything to God. That's what I'm here to remind you of. These are the songs that we sing. This is what we remember. This is the Christmas story of God sparing nothing for us. that baby being born and victory being secured. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. A couple more verses. One that has one of my favorite verses, and it's also in Isaiah 55. But I want to remind you that the reason we have to celebrate is more, and you know this, I just want you to be mindful. I just want you to practice this mindfulness this holiday, because it's going to get hectic, and you're going to get stressed, and the house may be a little bit too warm, too many people in it, don't know that everything's organized, got to manage all the personalities coming in and out. Your husband may take too many pain pills and turns out to be sleeping pills and sleep through the day. Tony can tell you that story. Things will happen that will distract you. Things will distract you. But I want you to be mindful of what we are really celebrating, that we have a hope. We have an eternal hope, a hope that was given to us because of this birth, the birth of our Savior over 2,000 years ago. God promised that his word would accomplish everything, and he intends for the word to return again. As it was guaranteed and it happened then, it is going to happen again. He is going to come back, and he is going to claim those who are his. And this feeling should inspire in us joy, celebration, happiness. Happiness that it talks about in Isaiah 55 in the 12th chapter. And I've got a pretty picture of mountains and sun rising over the mountains. I wish you could see it. It says, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst forth in song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Brothers and sisters, we have a joy to share, a joy to the world, because the Lord has come and the earth will receive her King. So I'd ask each of you, when we wake up on Christmas Day, pause, take a moment, take stock of what he's done for us, and give him thanks. Praise him. Feel that joy in your heart. It's my prayer that each one of you would feel the fullness of his love this holiday. Thank you.